We are New Monster, and this is SciFighters. I'm Nathan.
I'm Adam.
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Redshirt Lucas.
And tonight we are talking about science fiction versus science fiction.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. What does that even mean?
Well, it's a concept you came up with to discuss, so I feel like
basically,
Ashley should tell us.
It really was just to, yeah.
This was an episode.
Argument.
Yeah, it was an episode that we felt like is very poignant, but something that we could kind of dig our heels into, and also something Ashley feels like, and I feel like too. I'm with Ashley. There are subgenres of these genres. Of the science fiction genre itself, but you said putting the boldness on science fiction, and then the boldness on fiction in science fiction. So you're
right. So you're, basically, science fiction is where there's very sound scientific principles. It's stuff that actually could happen. It's this is real science, and then some fictional elements thrown in. Versus science
where
fiction.
Where the fiction is the story, kind of the story going around those elements.
Right. So, like, the first one that you said would be more like the moon landing. And then the second one would be more like Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Even in science fiction,
I totally baited you guys. You guys didn't go for that?
No.
Adam laughed.
We will come back to Killer Clowns.
I just said the moon landing was fake, whatever. All right.
See, I thought you
guys
were talking
no
about
fun.
How that was the science.
Yeah, science fiction. Fake. Do you even know what fiction is?
I know what.
You're killing me. I'm dying.
I thought you were focusing on the real of the science. Anyways, so science fiction.
Sometimes my brilliant humor is just too much for this whole group, I think.
The fiction of the story can still be there. So it can be Killer Clowns from Outer Space or whatever that fictional element is. But the science behind it is there. So, like, the spaceships that they're traveling on is, yeah, this is technology that could exist or parts of it do exist. Mm-hmm. Whereas science fiction, you know, maybe they don't ever really explain how the science actually works because, who cares? That's just sort of a plot device to really get into the fiction. To me, those are different.
An example of that would be what, Adam?
Back to the Future. The flux capacitor. You never even talk about how it could possibly work. It's just some idea that came to a crackpot scientist when he slipped and hit his head on the toilet.
How come none of us have one of those? You can buy them online.
What,
and
a
put
crackpot
them-
scientist?
Well, you can get
I
a
got
degree.
Mine in the basement.
I wouldn't tell people these things, Nathan.
Well, I live in the basement, so it's me.
Well, okay, know, so... Okay.
So I was going to make an R. Kelly reference.
No. Basement, not closet.
So for me, I prefer the science fiction. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, loving this kind of stuff, the science fiction and those kinds of things, it's all about escapism. And I really don't want it to ever be able to think about it happening. I don't care.
Yeah.
I go in for things purely for escapism. I don't, like, when I think of, you know, the science fiction, I think of things like, and maybe this is not correct, but things like, to some extent, like
short circuit,
Contagion, and those things that are taking place on.
I hate those movies.
Taking place in a much more realistic situation. What I really love is like space opera. You know, those kinds of things. That like way
take
out there. You know, Star Wars. We've talked about it before.
Doctor Who.
Yeah,
take
Doctor
a
Who.
Drink. But John Carter of Mars.
John Carter of Mars.
Well, actually, it's a Princess of Mars.
Princess of Mars. Well, the
John
movie,
Carter
the movie was called John Carter of Mars.
Yeah.
But wasn't one of the books also John Carter of Mars? Didn't he do the...
John Carter of Mars is kind of like what the whole like trilogy is usually
It's the whole trilogy
to,
like
or
smashed
more
together.
Than gotcha. A trilogy. I
because
think,
it's
like,
a Princess
books,
of Mars. And her skin was supposed to be red.
Princess of Mars was the first book of that, I believe.
Oh, man, I love
that
movie.
So, I mean, to me, I view movies with a very strong suspension of disbelief. Like, when I go to see a movie, it's kind of like, I am going to know that this is a work created by somebody. Therefore, I am willing to say that anything is possible in this world that's been created. So I favor more of the science fiction part of things because I don't care if it doesn't make sense to anybody in a physical world now, if they explain it and say, you know, these red particles attach to these blue particles inside of this fictional world, and that makes, you know, your feet grow 20 inches or whatever. I mean, like, it doesn't matter because this is the universe. It's there. So, all right, fine. So one person has a 20-inch foot. I mean, like, you know, like, it's like...
just okay, the one foot, though. Just walks in
straight. That's the name of this podcast.
And this is why Ashley and I are the writers.
And I think that maybe we have some sort of disconnect of my view of science fiction and all of you, the rest of your views of science fiction. For me, it can be something that is still just wildly fantastic, and, you know, yeah, the laws that they create in the universe for whatever that movie is. For me, the science fiction is, do those laws make sense?
You know, for me, I don't care.
See, for me, if there's not that internal consistency, like if they say, well, the reason, you know, like whenever there's flying in movies, if they say, yes, flying is part of this universe, awesome. But if they say, some people fly because they have whatever, the sun changes their cells, it's like, okay, that's the science behind it. I can get behind that. But then if they turn around and say, no, it's really because of this, it's like, well, I mean, come on, make up your mind. Form that rule and stick to it. That's where the science for me, the consistency. Does that make a little bit more sense?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, I think it's more of an issue is in terms of the different subgenres and things like that of this broader science fiction topic. It's style. For me, it's a style thing. Mm-hmm. It's not so much an issue of being good or bad or anything like that in terms of the fiction that's coming out. It's stylistic for me. I really could care less about, for the most part, things that take place in a more realistic setting that has science as the foundation of the story. For instance, if you set a... I don't even know where I'm going with that. I could care less if it's something slightly realistic and something that it might still be a little fictional in terms of the science behind it. But for me, it's, like I said, stylistic. I really just want to see those spaceships and laser guns.
Well, and you can like still that. Have spaceships and laser guns.
I know,
guns.
And I'm not denying that. I get the point. That, you know, as long as the world is consistent, it's, like I said, I think it's more of a stylistic and a personal preference for me.
Sure, but I mean, even Star Trek, like, I would consider, well, more so the Next Generation, because they were a little bit more consistent than maybe the original series.
Shut your mouth.
Okay, fine. I watched more of The Next Generation so I can relate
why?
More to it.
Because why? It was on anybody, when I was growing
why did
up.
Anybody watch that?
It was on every
I
week.
There's
I did
just
not
so
always
much
catch
talking.
The
it's like, let's not do anything and just talk this whole
it's
episode.
Like the Gilmore Girls of Space.
Oh, yeah. Man, give me Shatner any day. That's all I'm saying.
Anyways, using Star Trek Next Generation
they even had a cartoon.
As the example, I would still consider that science fiction. Because they, for the most part, explain how the spaceships worked. Like, whatever they established, this is the means of propulsion, that's kind of generally how it worked.
But still, your view of it is still kind of loosely based, because it's not based off of actual science. But it's based off of, like, BS.
Well, what you're talking about, though...
That's what I'm saying, though.
What you're talking about is just good
they,
story writing. It really has nothing to do with the genre. It has nothing to do with science fiction or not. It's just... You're just talking about good... proper writing of good
so it's
writing.
Like science fiction and consistent science fiction? Is that kind of a more... I mean, because I'm kind of seeing that you can't scientifically explain this necessarily, but these rules are there, so it applies. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what I'm getting.
Well, rules aren't science, Nathan.
Yes and no. Like, let's go back to Back to the Future. For me, that's science fiction, because, yeah, they never really say what happens. It's not even a... Right, time travel is obviously a huge plot device. But then, you know, how the DeLorean works, how the time machine works, how all that stuff happens. It's more of just, no, it happens, just believe me. Now we're back in the past. So, like, that's the stuff that, for me, it's focusing more on the fiction. It's focusing less on the what, the how, the why, and just, okay, here's the other stuff that's happening.
Okay.
Does that make more sense? Because I think that my view of science fiction versus science fiction... stiff.
So, yeah.
Well, so, I mean, I think we're all saying pretty much the same thing. My thing is that I think it's just an issue of stylistic. I have no issue with what you're saying. I completely agree with you. I mean, it should be grounded in some kind of reality within the fictional world, some kind of rules. My concern with it is just that it's a, like I said, I'm going back to what I've already said, personal preference in terms of what I prefer. Mm-hmm. And within science fiction, you've got the subgenres of that fiction,
such as
you've got space opera, which is my favorite subgenre of science fiction.
Take a drink.
So you've got space opera, which would fall under which would be Star Wars. Flash Gordon is,
oh yeah,
you know, very much space opera. You've got
Flash Gordon.
Star Trek sometimes does fall under that as well. Space opera is kind of weird like that. But then you have like science fantasy, which is like a subgenre of a subgenre. You've got planet fiction. You've got
planet fiction.
Well, that's kind of a take on the
Uranus
science fantasy.
Okay, thanks, Dave. That's a planet joke for you.
So you've got those different subgenres of that. Science fantasy, of course, in my mind is anything that has swords, laser guns, and spaceships and robes. As we were saying,
yes, robes makes it.
All right, so robe crosses over.
But within, so right there, I've muddied the waters even more because I just described Star Wars under two things, under space opera.
Under two? How many fingers do you have up right now?
I have two fingers and a thumb.
A thumb is not a finger. A thumb is a thumb.
I'm a ninja turtle.
Exclamation mark.
So with Star Wars, though, I get what you're saying, but the difference between science fiction and science fantasy, personally, I don't see it. Because for me, as soon as fantasy has that science element added in, it is just science fiction. Like, to me, having science fantasy...
Why are you allowed to take the fantasy out of it and not take the science out of the fiction? I
because
mean,
if
why
it
is it
have
one
science,
thing but not the
it's
other?
It's just the fantasy.
But what if it... But
what makes
but
it
what
science?
If it has the science, what makes that not fantasy anymore?
What makes it science?
Yeah, it's just fiction to me. But if Lord of the Rings had lasers, I would just call that science fiction.
So is science then anything that's more advanced than what we have now, by your definition?
That is part of the definition.
Okay.
It can be part of the definition.
And then you have all those Michael Crichton books.
Rest in peace.
It's okay. They got a mosquito that bit him before.
Sorry. It's trapped in ammo. The substance, not the person.
So what's your take on it? What's your take on science fiction versus science fantasy versus all of this nonsense?
Oh, gosh.
Yes. Rant.
I think... that I don't think, and that's why I like science fiction, period. I've never had a problem with them not explaining anything, because if so, we already talked about Back to the Future, I would have a huge problem with that movie. I love the fake of all of it. I get bored if there's too much science. If I want science, I will go to the Space and Science Museum. And sure. I will soak up all the science
or
I possibly
can. You can watch Apollo 11.
Or I will watch Apollo 11. But look. But I won't.
So you just said that sometimes you get bored if there's too much science.
Right. I mean, if there's too much science, then I feel like a movie becomes preachy.
See, for me,
and I dislike that. I want, if I'm going to watch a movie, normally it's to be entertained.
Sure.
99% of the time, it is to be entertained, not edumacated.
Sure.
Do not try to educate me or push any sort of agenda, because
so
I will
really
be
didn't like Avatar.
Bored. Oh God, I hated Avatar with
or
my,
Ferngully.
My whole heart. I was indifferent.
Or Pocahontas in space.
I've no what.
to me,
I hate Pocahontas.
Going back to the Future for a second, which of course I will. It doesn't even bother me that they don't explain time travel very much. And it's not because I'm not one of those that needs to be explained. If you're going to explain something, it needs to make sense. I agree with that. But sometimes I don't even think the story calls for it. I mean, would Back to the Future be more enhanced if Doc Brown went on a 5-minute spiel about how 88 miles per hour is the exact time the molecules fused with the plutonium and which gave it the kick of the 1.21 gigawatts to shoot into the future? You know what I mean? Like,
and would Adam that just really, made it all make sense.
Right? Would that really have made the movie any better? And I don't think it did. I think if the explanation enhances the movie, then I think that that's necessary. But I don't think it's always necessary.
Well, and I'm not even saying that I don't like science fiction. I think one of the things that really gets me, though, is if they just say, this is part of the universe, accept it, fine. Like with Back to the Future, time travel is just part of the universe. Okay, they don't really need to explain it because it's the story of just, you know, getting him back and all the implications. In Looper, loved Looper, in part because their explanation of time travel is just, it's part of this universe, accept it. Like they even have that conversation of, look, we're not talking about it, this is just the way that it works. Right. I'm okay with that. I'm okay when it's, this is part of the universe. When it really draws me out of the story is when they start explaining it and it doesn't make sense. Not doesn't make sense in reality, but they contradict themselves.
Well, for me, it's Emily Blunt, because I just, as soon as she showed up, I was like, it's over. I thought this was going to be a fun movie about hitmen going back in time, but guess what? Oh, Emily Blunt shows up, and everybody loves Emily Blunt, so she automatically just screws up a good time for the boys. And then, like, the rest of the movie is just, like, this stupid, convoluted love story. So with that one, I hated it.
So,
am I talking about this right?
Sure. One of the things that that is kind of a trope of science fiction to get away from that is technobabble.
Right.
Which is something I love. You can reverse the polarity of the neutron flow.
Take a drink.
It's like Moby.
That's a Doctor Who reference.
Yeah, so... Okay. And you've got things like...
We've really just got to put out the rules for that.
Okay. Yeah, so these are the rules of the sci-fighters world. When in doubt, it's a reference of Doctor Who if it comes out of my mouth.
Amen.
But it's the same thing as flux capacitor and, you know, those kinds of things. Those technobabble things. Star Trek is notorious for using technobabble.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't get as much of that in Star Wars because it's more about... And this is a good point, too.
Except for the prequels.
Midichlorians? Well, what? Midichlorians?
But... and one of the things to think about in this is the different kinds of... the way the worlds interact. Mm-hmm. So you've got Star Trek. You've got the different kinds of... many times science fiction is military-based. Oftentimes. You've got... And then with Star Wars and Star Trek, you've got two different takes on the way militaries work.
And diplomacy
and those kinds of things. But even to the point of the kinds of ships they have. Star Wars is very much based on the sea battles or the air battles over the sea in World War II, where you have many little fighters fighting out over aircraft carriers and things like that, where... Star Trek is more about destroyers fighting against each other.
Like tanks. You know?
Yeah. So
you are ruining these two things for me. Continue on.
So you've got those different kind of takes too that go into that as well. And I feel like I'm probably taking this in a direction we weren't intending it to go.
It doesn't matter, it's fine.
So
it's organic, baby.
It's bionic.
No, that's my leg.
You're not Ayana.
I knew that was going to happen.
So that's the great thing about science fiction is you can take all these different, for me, you can take all these different approaches to things.
Right.
And, you know, take these elements of fiction or a fact even, and then you ingrain them into a fantastic world or a fictitious world. And then you, you're able to tell, recreate that story.
Right.
With it. So that's something that I really like about both of those franchises in terms of how they do that.
Kind of going with Star Wars for a second, as far as the midichlorians, I was totally fine with the original trilogy when the Force was just the Force. It was just kind of this supernatural the essence that kind of, you know, it surrounds us and flows through us. And that speech that Obi-Wan gave, it's like, yeah, that's the Force. I accept it. That was amazing. When in the prequels, they try to explain it through the midichlorians and detecting it and all this other stuff, again, because they contradicted themselves, because they weren't focused on, you know, maintaining that consistency, that really brought me out of it, aside from other things that happened in episode one. But, you know, when something like that happens, that really takes me out of the story. So whether it is actual science as far as things that are actually happening, or if it's science that's a little bit more futuristic and what could possibly happen, it's when there's not that consistency, when there's not that sort of quote-unquote scientific basis, that's what draws me out of it. What do y'all think?
I think you said that already. Moving on.
Anybody else?
I was using an example trying to get more responses.
I don't know. I tapped out somewhere.
Adam, what you got?
No, I agree with that. I mean, I think that if you feel the need to define rules, your rules should definitely be consistent, because I think that that is just poor story writing. Now, that said, I am not a writer, and I have a tendency to ignore very glaringly obvious things that other people catch and then tell me how frustrated they were about things later. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I could see how that could be frustrating. So I'm not the best person, so it has to be very glaring for me to have an issue with it. But I do agree, I don't think there needs to be an explanation for a lot of things, but if there is going to be an explanation, it better be consistent.
So basically we're just talking about story writing now. Is that what? Right?
That's a huge part of it. All right. Well, then let's talk about science fiction and the real world.
Okay.
So, you know, we started talking about that last time with RoboCop and how there's a lot of technologies that are currently happening with the drones and the robot arms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are some of your thoughts on how science fiction has influenced actual science and technology? And sort of the flip side of how has actual science and technology influenced science fiction stories?
Ask me that again after, sure. Before we forget, we get Adam's take on actually, the last podcast we did was about RoboCop, and Adam being a 30-something man.
Having just seen RoboCop for the first time.
Just seen RoboCop for the first time. And we wanted to get your thoughts on it, actually. What you actually thought about the movie in toto.
Well, going to RoboCop and having no emotional attachment to it other than I liked the guy's mask when I was like 8 years old. I think that I was surprised by how incredibly gory the whole thing was.
Oh, yeah.
Like when the... again, spoilers for those who haven't seen RoboCop,
25-year-old movie.
You know, for the 30th year or whatever. Yeah, when they shot off the guy's hand with the shotgun.
Oh, so
and
good.
There was probably 8 gallons of blood that squirted out of the wrist within like 30 seconds. And then, you know, he's like moving the gun up and down and beeping. I mean, it was just very... They did a very good job of showing the heinousness of crime, which I do think that will be lost with this current RoboCop because of the nature of having to tone it down. I mean, there's a certain amount of shock that comes with just pure evil that you can't really show in a PG-13 movie. As far as overall quality of story, though, it was kind of frustrating for me to watch because I can't separate this huge futuristic invention that moves really slow and does sound like he's walking on a drum machine. I mean, it's like, it's just painful to watch. And then he had this knife.
He's like at FAO Schwartz on that big piano.
Yeah.
Yes. A little bit.
Boom, tee, boom, tee.
And that's what Ashley and I love about the movie.
Yeah, so...
That took you out of it.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Is that part of you being the audiovisual guy, though?
Well, not necessarily, because I also love Back to the Future. And so, but do I love Back to the Future because I grew up with it? I mean, I also think I like the story better. I'm just not one on a gritty vigilante go and, you know, seek vengeance for the person who, you know, left you with a soul face or whatever. You know what I mean?
Like, so you also didn't like Batman.
I actually did not like the original Batman.
And you don't like Darth Vader.
Well,
whoa, you mean 60s Batman? Who doesn't love Adam West?
I mean Keaton Batman and Tim Burton, which
same idea. I mean, actually, the stories are almost identical.
Well, it's the same suit.
Yeah,
the 2014 RoboCop suit and the Batman suit.
But I am ashamed to say that I did really like Batman Forever when I was younger. Now I'm ashamed that I even liked it. But
I'm
ashamed
of sitting next to you, actually. Yes.
I still love it.
I was just about
to make
a joke.
But did you like Batman and Robin?
Yeah. I didn't see that.
Anyone should love that for the same, completely different reasons.
I was
because of the nipple suit,
though. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Well, Schumacher was literally like, it's a comic book movie. What do you want me to do? It's like comic books. No, it's not. No. What is wrong with you?
But you know what? Batman Forever is my favorite Batman.
The only part of that movie that got a little bit of a chuckle out of me was when Chris O'Donnell said, "Holy rusted metal Batman," because of the throwback to the 60s era. Like,
right.
That was the only, like, mm-hmm. Now I'm sad.
And then he picks it up and he's like, it's holy.
Yeah, it's metal. It's rusted. It has holes in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he explained the joke, which ruined the joke.
Yeah. So going back to RoboCop, I do not like gritty movies. I personally hate Tarantino movies for how incredibly excessively gore they are, regardless of what kind of story and point they may have. I'm just not that type of person. So
do not watch Django.
Yeah. Do not watch Django.
So I welcome a remastered RoboCop. I don't know what to call it, reimagining, remake, whatever. Because I'm interested in the technology they have. I think they have something relevant to say. I think the character's interesting, and I think that it'll be a little more palatable to what I prefer to watch as a movie. So
you heard it here first. Adam likes movies that suck.
I like Frozen, okay? So sue me.
No. Frozen was great.
They didn't shoot the snowman's arm off.
Yeah, well, that's true. They didn't impale him with a spike.
They just took his head off all the time. The nose went through his face.
We were talking earlier, or you were talking about the science that come from science fiction and
how they influence each other.
So we were talking about Star Trek earlier, and I think Star Trek's a great example of the kinds of things that have kind of come to pass in a few different ways. The first being that it actually eventually there was a spaceship, an actual spaceship called the Enterprise.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I thought that was a ship first, like a battleship. Was that?
Yeah, but didn't they do an Enterprise?
Maybe they did. I don't know.
Was that one that blew up though?
No,
I don't want to. No. I don't want to bring up anything, but
it's too gritty for me.
Like,
I'm sorry.
There's like ghosts in the clouds all the time now.
Yeah.
And
so then Beyonce sings songs.
Is that science fiction?
But
that's science fantasy. Ghosts aren't real.
So, that's right. Ghosts are.
But beyond that, you've got things like even in the 60s Star Trek, you've got communicators, which were handheld devices that they would talk into,
like cell phones,
of course. And then, of course, in the
next generation,
your Star Trek.
Come on, it's the best one.
You have things like iPads and those kinds of things.
I wish everyone could see Lucas's face right now.
I hate when people say stupid things.
Things.
That's my southern accent, bro. Feel it.
Stupid little things.
To me,
stupid little things. Yeah. I'm going to write that movie.
To me, the next generation.
We're going to shoot it.
I feel like they foresaw 3D printing and like holograms in a way that I had never seen it.
I cannot wait
before.
Till we have our own.
Like,
3D
I mean,
printer.
A food replicator to me is the very essence of what would be good about a 3D printer, to be able to replicate food in a way that could actually be presented. And like I said, the holodeck. I think that is incredibly visionary to what people are trying to strive to do now because of this thing that was shown how useful it could be.
Well, and on top, it's great for if you're afraid of people.
And on top of that, they walked around with their pads. PADD, and now most of us walking around with iPads,
which are fantastic,
right?
I love them.
But go ahead.
Well, whenever I first saw the touchscreen on Minority Report, that movie, I flipped out because
that
I knew
it was kind of like in the air. Right?
Yeah, like I knew it was coming. I was like, if 80s movies had taught me anything, it's wait 20 years. And they're working on it. Like, it's going to start
coming out.
Or
they'll make a remake of it.
And that right there.
And it's happening and happening and happening and happening. And I cannot wait.
Well, I mean, some of the stuff that I love, though, is knowing this can happen. Like, that's part of what really brings me into it.
Well, we talked last time about, the the exosuits that armies, militaries are beginning to use, and
the Hulk
like that.
Suits.
So you know, you have things like Starship Troopers and these things with these military organizations that wear the big suits. Mm-hmm. You've got things like, to a lesser extent, but like Judge Dredd, and you know, the uniforms that they would have with the on-screen, yeah, the visor
heads-up display,
the Oculus Rift.
Yeah,
no. Well, he also had the weaponry that was voice command,
and there's some of those they're making where the weapons are attached to an individual.
Yeah,
like they can only be fired by the person that's geared to fire.
Yeah, like the biometric scanning stuff,
which is fantastic. So, well, you see it on your phone already, where it scans your finger. To, oh, actually, it's kind of crap, but you know, whatever. People bought the gimmick.
But it's one of those things that's it. Oh, even getting into technology that's in our households now, you've got like the Xbox Kinect, where you're able to manipulate things just without anything.
That's beautiful.
And be spied on.
Well, yeah.
Ignore that.
Get over it.
Sure.
Who cares? Whose job is that anyway? Just to watch just hours and hours of just boring footage. Like, do you watch? Does everybody have their individual tattletale? But it's just like, oh my God.
The Xbox One, though, is very much like the next generation, and the fact that the guy would just say computer, and then he would say what he needs. So the Xbox now is constantly listening. When you say Xbox, you know, play whatever, it'll do it because it's constantly listening to you.
I heard about this one guy who made his username. Was it one of you guys telling me? I don't think it was. Made his username like Xbox. I don't remember the exact thing, but his username was something, and basically, when they were talking to him on the when they're playing games, they say his name and they're like, "Stop it!" And it shuts their system off because it's the name. His username is the name of what you have to say to activate your voice command.
So he just screwed himself over.
No, he screwed everyone else over.
So like Xbox One, stop playing, and their own system would turn off.
Oh, that's
were telling him
how clever. What a funny little 14-year-old.
So, but yeah, I mean, those kinds of things are really fantastic. And, you know, everyone, I think when you think about technology that you want from a science fiction movie, my mind automatically goes to lightsabers.
Right.
And that's the one thing I don't think we're quite there yet. But, I mean, there's
no need.
No, I mean, we don't need
for a lightsaber, please.
No.
But they're working on it.
I'm sure they are.
But
no.
Let's take this in a slightly different direction.
Like a flying car. Just a bad idea.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was thinking...
You mean a plane?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean... Well, let's look at it this way. What about the...
Yay.
You've got the Jetsons.
They're all dead now. Rest in peace.
And all living in the sky. Most dangerous place to have a treadmill. Why is he running outside in the sky?
There is nothing in every direction. It is only oblivion in but any direction.
He has that little jetpack that he always has.
Yay! It's the stuff me and Ashley love, of course.
So, but let's talk about that. Let's talk about the things that science fiction has gotten wrong. I mean, what can you guys think of anything that they haven't quite got it right?
Well, you can't mutate things without giving them cancer. Like, they don't become cool, they become dead.
Or dying.
Yeah.
What about the rat where they grew the ear on the back of it?
Kind of mutation.
Hey, boy, we don't talk about witchcraft on this podcast. You hear me? We don't talk about witchcraft.
Well, maybe you can't do mutation through radiation yet. You can do mutation through genetic manipulation, I suppose.
Right. Which is coming to the 3D printers, which is
that's true.
Making me puke a little bit.
Yeah, because they
I don't know what to think about that.
You know, mapping the genome and stuff like that, and being able to manipulate how the DNA works, and so now they print ears.
Really excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They print an ear.
Well, they're also trying to grow meat in a test tube, so I don't know if that's...
Watch your mouth!
No, I'm serious.
Is it real meat?
Yeah, it was taken from a part of a calf or a cow or a pig or some sort of thing.
Long pig boy.
They're saying that this is the answer to the future because as the population expands, we're running out of room to have meat, and vegetation to feed. So
they're going to take it into space and use space to make it?
No, because think about it.
God will kill us like he always does.
But the animals don't have to eat anything because they're just grown tissue in a lab. They're going to artificially flavor it, and you're
going to want it where they get sustenance in
That's called McDonald's.
In little pills.
Yeah,
and you're just like, I'm going to have my turkey dinner pill. And you
That's called toys.
Don't mix it up with your suppository. Now, if they had a 3D printer that printed bacon, I would love that.
I would buy that in a heartbeat. I would go to the bacon machine.
That would be my last heartbeat.
The bacon machine.
I would just go and, you know, you put in like 75 cents.
Yeah.
And you're like, I want this bacon. And you click the button and it just drops down. And you're like, oh, man. And you get like three pieces of crisp bacon.
There we go. Well, satirically, my favorite... any kind of science fiction technology would have to be from Futurama, which is instead of telephone booths, they have suicide booths. And so there's a huge line of people just outside the suicide booth that they would go in and pay their money, like like swipe their card and have the machine kill them.
Really, of all the technologies, that's the one you're going with?
I said satirically, my friend.
Well, if we're talking about those kinds of things and that kind of science fiction thing along those lines, the idea of the vending machine for things, there was a comic book that came out in the, I think, early 90s called Scud.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with Scud?
Rings a bell, but
I'm
not.
I can't remember what Scud stands for. But basically, it's vending machines, and you can buy assassins out of them. And this little robot assassin drops out.
Oh, wow.
And then you tell them who you want to kill.
Oh, hilarious.
And then it goes and does it. And then it does the job, and then it gets the money. And then it goes back into the machine, and someone else can hire it. Scud is pretty awesome.
That's wow. I'm down.
I've never heard of that.
I'm down. How do you spell it? Is it CK?
No, SCUD.
So it's not like the 90s spelling? SKUDD?
No. No, it's
like it was really jagged.
I can't remember what it stands for.
Sounds like a Tarantino movie.
Good. Adam, come on. Please. Please, you're biased.
But I love that idea of the vending machines.
Because like
vending machines is a really interesting topic.
Oh, yeah.
It's been used in a lot of science fiction movies.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of for different things. Even you and I, when we've been writing some things, we've included some of that. Or I did in one of our things that we were working on.
And didn't... excellent.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, was Brad the one that said that he wants a vending machine that produces vending machines? Brad Rader. Brad Rader, the creator of the Battle Baby,
as
a matter of fact. Not like the story of the World War II guys.
So what comes out of the vending machines? Like,
vending
do they
machines.
Just create more vending machines?
Yeah, they
machines?
Create more vending machines. Like, if you want a vending machine, you push the button for the vending machine you want from the giant vending machine.
So it makes a smaller vending machine?
So it has
it
a
makes
factory.
A regular size vending machine.
A factory inside of it.
It's basically called a store.
Yeah, isn't a giant vending machine that pops out vending machines just called the factory?
Yeah, it's a factory. That's
Oh man, I do want like a sugar cookie cartridge so that you just put in the 3D printer and it's like, wee? That would just be awesome.
Adam, where were you? We already talked about those 3D printers, man. You're thinking about sugar cookies.
And replicator.
He's already talking about Christmas, you guys.
I love sugar cookies.
You're making me want some sugar cookies, as a matter of fact. Where are we next?
Well, Ashley already started bringing this up, but what are some of the technologies that are in movies or books? Just some sort of science fiction element, something that you would love to actually exist, something you would really like to exist, not satirically talking about the Futurama
suicide booths. Something that, a lot of the stuff that I just absolutely love, like the touch screens and everything else, as they evolve, I just get more and more excited because I love the fact that I should be able to have a desk that is my computer, where I just start bringing everything up by touching it.
They already have that.
The RT Surface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I just need, that's what we need. The Fahrenheit 451, where the television shows, you get a script and you plug in whatever episode you want to do and be in, and you're scanned and your walls are the video, and the people are holograms, and they're with you, and they act with you.
So, like the Star Trek holodeck,
just completely complete AI. I guess it is. I didn't watch the crappy version of Star Trek, so
well,
I
was there was something that you mentioned where you showed me before, where it's sort of this virtual reality, but it's a lot more immersive.
The Virtual Boy.
Oh, it's called Second Life.
No, it's.
I saw a naked midget one time playing a guitar. Creeped me out. Never been back. No offense, little people. No offense. Shouldn't have said midget. I'm sorry.
Now, you showed me some technology that they're working on that the virtual reality is a lot more immersive than the past iterations. Something to where, like,
right, when you that's the Oculus Rift. And yes. there's a better version coming out of that. They're also programming it. They also have programs with a treadmill. They're working on
that spins.
Like 360.
There was a 360, but they're working on something better than that. They're working on
one of those things you sit sit and whirl or whatever.
No, not a sit and whirl. But they're working on actually you being able to kind of feel things in the world itself, but. It's coming along.
Wouldn't because you have to, like, put things in your brain to be able to, I mean, like...
Yeah, send those, like, electrical signals.
Well, I don't know what the impulses are. I don't have the...
On some of them, they have the little... what are those things?
That, electrodes.
Electrodes that they put on different areas that you would be able to...
That just sounds like you're inviting some technology to take over your person and it's called secret commands like RoboCop.
Hey, let me tell you something. It's called the internet. Okay, we all know it's the Antichrist. We all know the internet's the Antichrist, well, and you guys are all also come to the mark of the beast. It's over. Okay, it's over.
So for you, most of the technologies are stuff that we're already on the verge of.
Yeah, anything that I saw as a kid, I was pumped about, and it's happened already. So I'm like, all right, blow my mind now. So now the way people are blowing my minds is like video games. So I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to play Elder Scrolls whenever I can be in there and I can shoot wolves with my bows and arrows.
And then die and really die.
Ashley, what about
you? No, I don't want to really die.
What's one of the technologies that you really want to see?
That I've...
And mine is so shallow.
It's really right.
Like, forget saving the universe.
Just want entertainment.
Years ago, I saw a. It was an arcade game, and this it was like in like Gatlinburg or
Smash TV. It's the best.
No, it was like a Carnival. Kind of a table tabletop game, and it kind of curved upward this way, but it was holographic.
I played that.
Did you? And it was like a
it was like a cowboy.
A cowboy or something. And
like on Star Trek.
Now, looking on it, I realize it was all done with like mirrors and stuff. It wasn't really, but the idea is
Copperfield that crap.
It looked like it was standing there in front of you, and that. Yeah. So I think ever since then, I've always been like, I'd love to see like holograms. Like I'm talking like so. And this is something that I've recently been hearing that it's starting to come true. You know, holograms in the way of, you know, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope, right. Holograms. Like, where you're having a conversation with someone that's standing in front of you. Mm-hmm. And it's all, and they've been doing it to some extent on TV. It's done a lot now. And when I say TV, I don't mean, like, scripted shows. I mean, like, news. Right. They're starting to do some things where you see them all in the room, and then you realize they're not just on green screen somewhere else. Like, they've actually got this three-dimensional space.
They're actually trying it out in offices too. Like that's one of the big things to fully project an image.
Well, so that's fun. I love that. I absolutely love that.
Everyone loves office work.
The thing about it though is in my mind, I always go back to that video game where it was just done with mirrors. Oh, you know, it's really cool that you've played that. I've never heard of.
There's one scene that haunts me from that game. I could not get past this part. Where
was it the old prospector, and he's like, "Hey, get out of my mouth!"
No, it was like he came to this area, and he's like, "It's quiet in here, too quiet." And then this Native American would run out with a hatchet and hack me, and he would do this. I keep putting quarters in, and I knew where he was coming. I couldn't turn and stop the Native American from hitting me in the face with the axe.
That's when you realize that the video game creators were just rooking you for your money.
Yes,
and this is the end of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We apologize.
I think that was made by Sega for some reason. In my mind, there was a big Sega thing on the... But I know nothing about the game. I never can't find anything about it.
It's getting quiet in here. Too quiet.
Whoa, are you going to be able to sleep tonight?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, Adam, right. What about you? What technology from sci-fi do you really want?
Okay, what I'd really want, even though it would be terrible to have, would be a lightsaber. Like, I absolutely think that this would be a terrible invention for people to regularly have.
Oh, but you can do a lot more. I mean, when you, because this was almost mine also. The idea of
why? I don't get it. Like,
listen,
why?
I have a point.
You don't have a lot of swords.
Really, really sharply.
No, but it's
fire. Like, okay, I'm listening.
Hear me out. In another movie that I saw, they used, basically it was a lightsaber. It was actually the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie. They pull out this little thing, and it's a butter knife, but it's just like, bzzz, and they cut the bread with it. I'm like, that's amazing. That's a great use for that kind of technology that's not, you know, killing people.
You know, they make those heated knives, yeah, right? That you can just cut through the butter a lot easier.
Or you
that.
Can just not be but, a whip.
Okay. Of like, all of science fiction, of all of future technologies, you just want to butter your toast faster.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
And no, but the thing is, when it cuts it, it also toasts it.
Okay.
Booyah!
The lightsaber is the thing I would be most fascinated to see. The thing I would enjoy the most, though, would be a holodeck, because I think that would be much more practical. But there's something about
spending
this
time with humans. Okay, Adam, I get it.
There's something you don't about have this laser beam.
He is spending time with humans. Fake humans.
We don't count.
Well, yeah.
No, fake humans.
They can't hug you.
I was homeschooled, okay? I got some social awkwardness. Leave me alone. If I want to have fun in a holodeck, you let me, Lucas.
Everybody in this holodeck looks like my mother.
Yeah.
That's a sensitive topic.
Okay.
Right. So holodecks.
I think I'm done. Yes.
What about you, Nathan?
For me, see, I was going through like, all right, which one would I use? Lots of things that could actually help people, like in Star Trek, the little shots that they do that basically cure everything. But no.
Or on the other hand,
like nanobots,
having that little thing that can just diagnose what your problem is.
Right. Yeah. All these things that could actually help society. I was thinking through all those. I eventually arrived at just, I want the Iron Man suit. Like, I want to be Iron Man.
Which they are working on.
They are working on that.
But they're also working on nanobots and things like that. Like, technology, like, they also have a technology right now that is...
Can you control insects?
No.
They have robotic insects.
But that
but
sounds...
they have real insects that can't be controlled. Anyway,
yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's wild. Like, we could go into so many different things. But I'm talking about, like, the building materials that self-heal.
Oh. Yeah.
It's like concrete. Like, it'll crack if there's, like, an earthquake or whatever. And then it'll start repairing itself. Like, coming back together. But these are, like, real building materials. Amazing. I am so jazzed for the future. I can't even see straight.
The future is now.
Well, in that, before we wrap up, is there anything out of science fiction that... that you're just like, that's never going to happen? At what point is, what's the thing that you're going to, yeah, you're just going to say, I don't expect that to happen?
Time travel. Back in time. Time travel future, yes. Time travel back
now. Well, considering we just traveled in time into the future, from when you just said that we are now in the future, we are traveling forward in time.
No, we're constantly in the present. And some nerds over there are getting so angry that we're saying this.
But, all right, continue.
All right, so clearly... Well, what? Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
What about you, Adam?
The
technology that you just don't think is anything you'll ever see.
It's like three sticks in a popsicle. It's like three popsicles in one.
Because I'm going to go with time travel, too. As much as I would love it to happen,
yeah,
it's the one that
only terrible things could come out of that.
I actually agree
because
with that.
Because people are idiots,
although,
and that's why God kills us.
According to the movie... the footage found a few years ago, there's a time traveler found in a Charlie Chaplin movie.
Oh, that was kind of horse crap, but I think I think we all know how big of a stretch that was. I believe we call that witch hunting.
I think along with time travel, transporters. Transporting maybe objects, possibly, but to actually transport people where you would have to completely dematerialize them and rematerialize... I, that's never going to happen for living creatures.
They said they've done it with light source.
You can do it with
with objects, but like a living creature, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think it ever should happen.
I'm just jazzed for the 3D printers. I mean, I'm just completely jazzed for like the biology and everything else that's about to happen, because we get to see it. We get to live to see it. And you know what? That's enough for me, because I won't be able to wrap my mind around anything else. If they want me to live longer and they can, they're working on like anti-aging stuff right now, so that we can all look like we're 25, 30 forever.
See, and for me, as soon as there's a 3D printer that prints bacon, boom, I'm done.
And so is your heart.
Exactly. So clearly, science fiction influences real science and technology. Science and technology influences science fiction. All of it influences us.
And of course, the fiction of science fiction and all of that is definitely something we talk about as well.
I wonder how many people listen to this episode all the way through and they're just kind of bummed out and they're like, I wish those guys were smarter. I think it would have been really great. I mean, it was a good idea, but I just think it was a misfire. I don't know.
I think it was good.
I just ate all this buttered toffee. I don't...
Sure. And it wasn't toasted because I didn't have a lightsaber to cut it with.
I didn't have a saber knife.
So
I just want my sugar cookies.
So for Sci-Fighters, I'm Nathan.
I'm Adam.
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Red Shirt Lucas.
And we'll see you next time.
It's getting quiet in here. Too quiet.